Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football DFS Podcast. My name is John Solly. I am a PFW Fantasy Football contributor. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Kyle Neighbors, Northwest Herald Sports Editor and PFW contributor. You can find him on Twitter at Kyle Neighbors. Kyle, how did last week go for you over on FanDuel?
Well, it was kind of a rough early slate again for the second week in a row, but I was able to redeem myself throwing together an afternoon slate with a lot of Panthers and Saints, which worked out well. How did everything go for you on DraftKings?
You know, it wasn't a bad week, but just kind of an average week overall. I was on a few plays. I was off a few others. And, just kind of an eh week. But we will move forward to week 14 now. Hard to believe that, Kyle. But we are on to the next week. And I played a lot of Thursday through Monday. So we're taping this on Friday afternoon. So I'm already in a bunch of contests. And something worked out for me, but not the way I wanted it to. I've been on the be underweight on Alvin Kamara in tournaments train for a couple weeks, and it obviously has not gone well. But last night with him getting the concussion, which obviously you never want to see, and you hope Kamara's okay, the tournament that I'm in, he is 48% owned and put up about 6 points. So I feel like I'm in good shape.
I don't usually play the Thursday through Monday slate, but I put literally a 10-cent tournament just because I wanted to see how much Alvin Kamara was owned, and it was like, I think it was 58% on FanDuel, which made me chuckle. And then to see him go out on the first series was really disappointing. You know, I don't usually look forward to those Thursday night games, but I was really looking forward to that game and watching him play. Really disappointed to see him go out and not come back.
Definitely. So let's kind of move on and talk about this week's slate. And Kyle, I thought you wrote a good column in the Pro Football Weekly insert this week about looking out for injuries. And there's a few to keep an eye on this week, aren't there?
Yeah, I wrote in the column, not just – you don't want to just look at the skill position, but you really want to look on the offensive and defensive lines, particularly for running backs. Saw it last week. Denver was missing a couple of their top run stuffers, and Kenyon Drake went nuts. And vice versa, I wrote that, you know, Kyle Long, the Bears all pro guard or Pro Bowl guard at least, you know, did start last week but was dealing with a bum shoulder, and he left at halftime. And you know, there was a lot of chalk on Jordan Howard, and the Bears were unable to run inside the tackles against a really bad run defense in San Francisco. And it just goes to show you really have to pay attention to where those starting lines are at.
Definitely. Well, let's kind of just go position by position over here, Kyle. Who are some of the quarterbacks that you're looking at over on FanDuel this week?
Well, let's go ahead and start with a guy that I know you like, and I'm going to let you take the floor here because I am absolutely against the Deshaun Kaiser chalk train that seems to be rolling through right now.
Here's why I like Kaiser. You look at his game log, the last really kind of four or five games, he's running a lot more. He's running at least five times. He's giving you at bare minimum 22 yards rushing, but has really been averaging around 40. And has gotten into the end zone twice. So I think he provides a really safe floor for you this week in DFS with his rushing. And then the only question is, can he do enough in the passing game? But it's against Green Bay, and it's at home, and he's got Josh Gordon back, and Gordon looked fantastic last week. And now he gets a really weak secondary. So I think that I think Kaiser, if you're looking for low-end quarterbacks, Kaiser – is not only a safe play, but he does provide a lane here for 5X value, at least on DraftKings, at just 4,900. And if you plug in Kaiser and then you add in Josh Gordon, who is pretty fairly priced at 5,500, you're not spending a lot for a pretty good QB wide receiver stack.
Yeah, you know, this is where I disagree, and you're not the only one that I've seen to say that it's a safe play, because I wholeheartedly disagree. I mean, the guy's got 3 rushing touchdowns in 5 weeks. I don't know you can count on it, but like you talk about his rushing attempt, but like since the beginning of October, you have games where I got it pulled up here, 5 rushes, still finished with 3 fantasy points, 6 rushes, finished with 4 fantasy points, 5 rushes, finished with 7 fantasy points. Like, yeah, I mean, he's been able to bring that floor up because of the rushing touchdowns, but we've also seen what happens when he doesn't find the end zone.
Yeah, but I mean, even last week he didn't find the end zone, lost a fumble, and threw a pick, and he still got you 15 points on DraftKings against the Chargers. Like,
Yeah.
I feel like the floor is safe enough, and he certainly has an avenue against a Green Bay secondary that is just really wretched. And now Josh Gordon has another week under his belt.
So I see the upside. I get the reason for playing it with the upside, particularly at his price. I just think the floor is a lot lower than you're giving it credit for.
Okay. All right. Well, I know you're, and I'm not going to talk you off of the play you're on, but Jimmy, the other cheaper quarterback that you seem to be on is Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes. And so Jimmy Garoppolo is at the helm of the fastest pace offense in the league against what I think is the worst secondary in the league with all the injuries. Not just the worst secondary, but it might be the worst defense in the league overall. I want to say I was looking over at Evan Silva over on Roto-World, and I wanted to say that he had some kind of note along the lines of if you had extrapolated the passing yardage and touchdowns out since the time that Houston had all these injuries and this run of quarterbacks against them started, it would be the most yards and most touchdowns ever given up in a season by an NFL defense. Like, they're just getting plastered by everyone. And Jimmy Garoppolo looked really good last week. I think people are just looking for the fact that he only had 11 fantasy points, but the Niners went 0 for 5 in the red zone, and it's just not going to happen again. Like, that easily could, if they went 2 for 5, he's at a 20-point day and he's chalked this week.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Garoppolo at all. I think Garoppolo is actually my number two play this week. So
Yeah.
I think he's a there are certainly great reasons to play Jimmy Garoppolo.
So if we're looking at Kaiser and Garoppolo here, it's kind of the guys we want to build around, but what are some, do you have any sneaky plays? My top guy, I think, and if he's able to suit up, is Matt Stafford, because he's going to go way under-owned in tournaments because people are worried about the hand injury. But he's been playing really well, and obviously we know that the Tampa Bay secondary is awful.
He has, and it's a great matchup. I don't like playing guys who I don't like playing quarterbacks who have been hurt, because there is the realistic opportunity that they don't finish the game.
Okay.
All that said, I don't hate Stafford. As for any other sort of sneaky play or guy that I might be on, I don't really want to pay up for Wentz or Rivers this week, or Goff. You could talk me into Alex Smith against Oakland, but
No, don't do it. Don't do it. He, I mean, he did
I think there are better
bad for a
plays.
month.
I
Right.
think there are just better plays. I don't need to go up to somebody like that. So I think I'm probably staying low with Kaiser and Garoppolo, and I don't think I'm really going to expose myself to many other QBs this week.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the Alex Smith chalk bust because it's coming. Like, he's gonna be way over-owned because of last week. And I get it, they're at home, it's a plum matchup against Oakland. It's just, he's just not very good though. And I just, for the amount of exposure people are going to have to him, I want absolutely nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I totally understand that. It looks
I
like
do like Phillip Rivers a bit though. I probably am not going to be on him much because I don't want to pay up for a quarterback. But I just think this is a spot where the Chargers are going to absolutely roll Washington.
I agree. I think in terms of real life football, I think the Chargers definitely steamroll Washington this week. With that, let's kind of move on to running back. I think Gurley's the top guy this week, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, there's a case you can to be made for the top three guys on FanDuel. LeSean McCoy's price way up there at 9,000. He's at home against Indianapolis. One, when he's at home, we know it's really a good spot for him, and two, it's the Indianapolis defense. I probably because of the way things are priced on FanDuel this week, it's pretty soft. I think LeSean McCoy is going to be pretty heavy owned, so I'm probably going to stay away from him in tournaments. But yeah, I agree with you. I just think the floor is too high on Gurley. I think there's going to be plenty of points in the Eagles Rams game. I like him a lot. And the other guy is Melvin Gordon, is also in that same price range. And if I'm not sure Melvin Gordon is very good in real life, but if you're going to get that type of production or workload that Melvin Gordon's getting at home against Washington, where I think the Chargers are going to have an early lead, I think I like Gordon and Gurley more than McCoy. It sounds like you're in the same spot.
As pure plays, yes, but when you factor in price, Gurley is the most expensive guy at 8,100 on DraftKings, and McCoy is $900 cheaper at 7,200. So
All
I
right.
think when you factor in price, McCoy might end up even with Gurley or even just ahead of Gurley for me by the end of the week.
I mean, if he's that much of a cheap or that much cheaper on DraftKings, I can understand why people would be flocking to him even more. I do think he's going to be really chalky. Have we seen an update on Tyrod Taylor? Is he going to play?
I have not seen one, but I can look one up. Is there
Here
any
it is.
other
I
like
got it. He's a game time decision. See, like, I have less interest in McCoy if Nathan Peterman's starting.
Agreed. We saw that, and we don't need to see that again.
Yeah.
Any cheaper guys you got your eye on? I think in the standard fantasy podcast that we do with Arthur Arkish, it's already out in iTunes, so by all means, go ahead and download and listen to it. Alfred Morris was a guy we were all on. Are you on him as a DFS play this week too?
Yeah, I don't think Alfred Morris has a super high ceiling. He's probably a better cash game play than a tournament play, but you gotta like the matchup and you gotta like the workload. He just isn't really involved in the pass game at all, so it kind of limits him, particularly on DraftKings. He's probably more of a FanDuel play. Before we get into maybe a few more of the value guys, I do have a question, and it's getting to the point he's almost a value. But are you willing to play Kareem Hunt?
No, and he's not that much of a value on DraftKings. He's at
Okay.
6,500. I'd rather just find an extra 700 and go up to LeSean McCoy.
All right. So he's down to $7,200 on FanDuel. I don't think I'm willing to do it. Actually, I shouldn't say I think. I know I'm not willing to do it, but I'm very much expecting for everyone to load up on the Kansas City passing game this week, and then for Andy Reid to decide that he's going to blow up the Raiders with Kareem Hunt in 25 rushing attempts.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kareem Hunt is a good pivot play. If you're entering multiple lineups, Kareem Hunt's not a bad pivot play for the matchup, and like you said, for the Andy Reid kind of troll job that we know is coming. But I'd rather just pay up and get McCoy and get the safety.
Yeah. All right. Well, so who are some of the value plays you like at running back? I'm guessing I know one against the Bears.
The price is stupid this week, and I'm looking at an ownership projection on Giovanni Bernard, and it's 45%, and I don't care. I think I'm just going to eat it anyway. He is $100 above the minimum. He's a guy that he doesn't need much at all. He can do exactly what he did last week, which was not get in the end zone, but 77 rushing yards and what, two catches for 20 yards, and that's almost going to 4x value for him. It's just the price is stupid this week. Bernard is a lock and load as far as a value play on DraftKings.
Yeah, he's only 600 at the minimum on FanDuel. He's going to be super chalky, and I don't really have a good argument against it. One thing that I do find interesting, or I do think is a good strategy in GPPs, is if you want to go there but differentiate yourself, I actually don't mind a game stack here with Andy Dalton and AJ Green with Bernard. I mean, I think this is a meltdown spot for the Bears, so I think that could be a fun way to kind of get a little bit of a different lineup out there with Bernard.
Absolutely, because that there are people that are going to play Bernard and don't want to play. People don't want to play Andy Dalton anyway, but don't want to play AJ Green with him too, because it's too many Bengals against
Yeah.
a Bears defense that has been okay as far as DFS purposes go. So yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a really good tournament strategy.
So I think, yeah, the common strategy is going to take Bernard and pair him with the Cincy defense. So I guess the question, and this would, if it was against a slightly better team, I'd feel better about this because I feel like it would be a really, really intriguing game stack to take the three guys that I said and then come back with a receiver on the other side. The problem is it's the Bears, and I'm not playing Dontrelle Inman.
Yeah, even though he's gotten in the end zone in recent weeks, I don't want him.
Yeah,
And
no.
he's up to
Yeah.
4,000 on DraftKings, which I don't want to pay that much for Dontrelle Inman.
Yeah, he had two targets last week. He did have a touchdown, but it's just like, eh. There's like 28 other teams in the league. If the Bengals were playing against them, I'd probably consider coming back on the other side. But it's just, eh, can't do it.
Yeah, no thanks. Any other value running backs you like this week?
Yeah, I think you got to really give Jamal Williams a look. The Cleveland rush defense has finally started to regress. They've been chewed up several times here, and I think you see that Jamal Williams get plenty of work. I was a little concerned about Aaron Jones eating into his workload last week, but that just didn't happen, and they don't want to have to put the game in the hands of Brett Hundley. So I think Jamal Williams is a really good play still at 6,600 on FanDuel. I've seen a lot of buzz over Marshawn Lynch. I get it, but are you willing to go there?
No, I think there are better options. Alfred Morris is $200 cheaper over on DraftKings.
Yeah.
Then why not just play Morris?
I really, really would have liked to play Peyton Barber this week, but with Doug Martin back in the fold, I can't do it.
Any love for Lamar Miller?
Not really. I mean, there's just not there. He hasn't shown upside really at all this season. I mean,
Yeah, I mean
what
the
is?
volume is there, but it's awfully hard for him to get to 20 points with
Yeah,
his efficiency.
he hasn't rushed for more than 75 yards in a game this year.
Yeah, I mean looking at his yards per carry the last three games, 3.7, 3.0, 2.8.
Yeah.
And there was a 5.7 in there and then 2.6, 2.7. And he's
Yeah.
really inefficient. So you're counting on volume against San Francisco, which in a pace-up game, you could sort of see it. But if we think Garoppolo and company are going to get San Francisco out to a lead in this one, that probably eliminates Miller for most of the game plan.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's about all I'm looking at this week, though.
All right, well, let's move on to wide receiver then. Who are some of the guys you really got an eye on there? I assume AJ Green is up there.
Yes, AJ Green is up there. AJ Green definitely will be in consideration. The Bears defense, while the cornerbacks continue to play well, they're giving it up to number one wide receivers, and not because of the cornerbacks really, because like I said, Kyle Fuller in particular continues to play well, but their safeties are awful. They're injured, and they're playing guys that they just signed off the street who hadn't been on a roster all year. It's just not a very good situation. So AJ Green's in fine shape. So I like Garoppolo, which means I like Marquise Goodwin a lot. And I really, really like doing a game stack between the two of those and coming back with DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, I think that's a great strategy. I'm on Goodwin as well. I talked about Josh Gordon. I think he's very fairly priced. There's going to be a lot of ownership on him, and I really still don't mind it. I'm looking at one projection that says 40% right now, but I don't mind it. I really don't. I think he's going to be just fine.
Did you say 40% for Josh Gordon?
40% for Josh Gordon. Everybody's
Dear
going to play him
Lord.
this week.
Just no thanks.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll end up that way, but as of, Friday afternoon, that's kind of where we're at.
I mean, I get it against the Green Bay secondary. If I'm not taking a receiver that is having DeShone Kizer throw him the ball if it's at 40%.
Yeah. I get that. Larry Fitzgerald is a guy that I think we have to consider against Tennessee at home. I know it's
Booker can
December,
lead
and
up.
playing old man Fitzgerald is not the best of ideas late in the season, but the matchup is too good, and Blaine Gabbert can't throw it outside.
Yeah. Other high price guys, I mean, Keenan Allen has just been lighting the world on fire for the last 3 weeks. He's going to get a lot more work in the slot again this week, so he should be in pretty good shape. I have no problem with him. We talked with Arthur Arkish on the year-long fantasy podcast yesterday about Robbie Anderson leaving practice and even walking off with the trainers because of aggravating his hamstring injury yesterday, which was Thursday when we taped that. And now I'm looking at it here, and he was a full participant at practice on Friday, so I have no idea what is going on there.
I guess just a little tweak.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm still not excited about playing him in Denver.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. I was seeing that, the Broncos still aren't giving up a ton of yards through the air, but they actually have given up the most receiving touchdowns in the league, which I did not realize.
Okay. Yeah, I think Robbie Anderson will be fine. I'm fine with that play. I'm not excited.
I don't think I'm going there, but I just found that to be an interesting note about the Denver defense that I didn't realize. I'm kind of interested in Adam Thielen.
I am
In
too.
Carolina. Yeah, go ahead.
As a real potential bounce back, because everybody was on him last week and he only got you 5 for 51, didn't get in the end zone. His price comes down this week. I think the Carolina secondary is beatable, and Thielen is an elite enough talent that I don't think matchup really matters all that much. I have no problem going back to the well with Thielen and what is going to be dramatically lower ownership than what it was last week.
Yeah, and Carolina has been particularly susceptible to slot receivers. Obviously, that's where he's going to do a lot of his work, and not just him. I'm willing to take a shot on Stephon Diggs because, once again, that game is coming. Like, the Stephon Diggs game is coming. People were burnt by him last week. He's down to 6,800 on FanDuel. I won't have a ton of shares of him, but I don't mind throwing him into a few lineups, hoping for that big game.
I think it's coming. I agree. I think it's next week against Cincinnati. Or
All right.
the last game of the year if the Vikings have anything to play for against the Bears.
Okay. So let's see what else here. Really, really like Marvin Jones as long as Matt Stafford can suit up.
Yeah, I agree. In that same game, Darius Slay has really proved himself to be a guy that we don't want to target receivers against. And
Oh,
so
hold on.
I'm
Let me guess. DeShaun Jackson?
DeShaun Jackson, he's at the, and let me make the case, he is at the cheapest price he has been all year on DraftKings. He is only 4,400. I think
I'm
that,
for it.
yeah, I think that he's got to be in play this week because any halfway smart offensive coordinator is going to know to kind of avoid Darius Slay a little bit. So I think you see an increase in targets for Jackson.
I'm really glad you're staying on brand here. I was a
Yeah,
little
you know
worried
I
that you
have
were going to
to.
jump on sale.
I didn't like him as a play a couple weeks in a row, but I'm back on with him this week, especially at the lowest price he's been all year.
He's still 6,500 on FanDuel, so there's no way I'm going there. There's better options at that price range.
Oh, definitely. I think he's a DK only play.
Yeah. Are there any really cheap receivers that you like? I'm a huge DD Westbrook fan. Any interest there?
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, I'm always going to believe in DD Westbrook, but that's a really, really tough matchup with Seattle. But I don't know
See, I
that.
disagree. I mean, I know Seattle's defense played better than most people expected last week. But Seattle coming across country, and I think I actually think Seattle's a better team than Jacksonville, and I expect them to get a lead. So I just think DD Westbrook is going to be involved. I think that Jacksonville's going to have to throw the ball to win this game. We've seen in 3 consecutive weeks since he's been on the field, his fantasy points increase each week. The big game is coming. I think it's a spot where he's only 5,200 on FanDuel. He's going to be low owned because people are scared of the Seattle defense, but I think game flow is going to be in his favor.
Okay. I mean, I get it. I get it. The tournament only and know that the floor here is zero, but Corey Coleman's only 4,100 over on DK against Green Bay.
Yeah, I just, once again, no thanks.
Not
I
a
mean, I get it. I get it.
Kaiser.
Yeah, that's just going with that game, though. Joey Nelson is down to 5,900 on FanDuel. I can't believe it. Like, I never in my wildest dream thought Jordy Nelson would be 5,900. I'm
Eight
probably not going
targets
to go
last
there.
week.
Yeah. You have any interest?
I don't hate it. I feel like I have to come back with somebody if I'm going to stack Kaiser and Gordon, and Nelson would add to that cheap stack. I'm having a tough time deciding between Nelson and Devontae Adams, who is up to 6,600 and maybe falling off a little bit.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Adams is he burnt everyone last week. I could not believe how heavily owned he was. So you should be able to get him at lower ownership than he probably should be.
I'm seeing 3% right now, because
Yeah,
he's
that's
a
too
hundred
low.
he's $100 more expensive on DK than Larry Fitzgerald and
All
Robbie
right.
Anderson. So I mean, he's
Well,
like
that's
surrounded by popular names.
yeah, that's a good pivot then.
Right, well, let's move on to tight end. Who are some of the guys you're looking at this week, Kyle?
Well, let's see. It looks like Zach Ertz is going to play. Not particularly interested there, and I'm not paying 8,000 for Travis Kelce. I like Travis Kelce in this spot. I understand that, at home against a bad Oakland defense, but he's going to be really heavily owned, I think, because there's, like I said, the pricing's pretty soft on FanDuel. I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope Andy Reid pulls one of his games where he just forgets Travis Kelce's on the field.
Certainly possible.
Yeah, I like Jimmy Graham. I mean, Seattle's going to have to score somehow. It's not going to be against the boundary corners. So I think Jimmy Graham is their best chance of getting into the end zone, and he clearly is able to do it. I mean, he's just been a monster for the last couple months now. How about Evan Ingram? Do you have any interest in him with Eli coming back at quarterback?
I do. I think Evan Ingram on a pure talent play is always in play, and the way to beat Dallas is over the middle, really, not on the boundary. So I think Ingram is always in play, and I like him with Eli throwing on the ball.
Yeah, and on the other side of the ball, old man Jason Witten just loves to destroy the Giants. It's insane. If you look at his game log against the Giants, and even early, first game of the year, he had 9 targets, seven receptions, 59 yards, and a touchdown. I don't want to play Jason Witten very often, but anytime he's going against the Giants, you have to consider him.
Yeah, I have no problem with Witten. Hunter Henry right in that price range too.
Yeah,
It looks
love Hunter
like
Henry.
the Chargers have rediscovered that Hunter Henry is on the roster. So I think that's a great play against a Washington team that still can't defend the tight end. But
Yeah.
the guy I'm gonna have a really hard time getting away from this week is Steven Anderson. Houston is going to dress a grand total of two tight ends. This week, Steven Anderson is 3,200, and the other tight end that Houston is dressing, they called up from the practice squad, Mike Coyle Pruitt. So he's really the only guy at tight end that Houston's going to have to throw to. He had 12 targets last week. He's so cheap. I don't think I'm going to be able to get away from Anderson.
Yeah, Steven Anderson is minimum price on FanDuel. This is an excellent, excellent, excellent play against San Francisco. But I actually do think there is one very, very intriguing pivot off of him, and it's the same another minimum price guy who's going to go under own this week, I think, which is Ricky Seals-Jones.
He's minimum price on FanDuel, is that right? Is that what you
He's
said?
he's minimum price.
Wow. He's been priced up on DK a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, targets of 5, 6, and 5. He's got 3 touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. Even last week, he didn't find the end zone, and he only had 2 receptions, but it was still for 44 yards. I mean, Tennessee's secondary is beatable. Their linebackers are beatable. If Steven Anderson's going to be really heavily owned on FanDuel, which I think he's going to be, I don't have a problem pivoting to Ricky Seals-Jones.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. I think that's a good call, and for all the reasons you listed. Also, I'm just going back to the Anderson play for a sec. Braxton Miller is going to be out for week 14 because of a concussion. So that's one less guy that can take away targets in the
Yeah,
Houston offense.
it sounds like Will Fuller is going to play, but I mean, he's got cracked ribs, so I'm not sure how effective he's going to be, and if all it takes is one good shot for him to go back out. So
Yeah.
maybe that'll help lower his Steven Anderson's ownership though a little bit for you.
It might. All right. Anybody else that in any position that maybe we missed, or you wanted to talk about, or any sort of bold DFS call before we close it out for this week?
We've been touching on defenses the last couple of weeks, so I'll quickly say that go ahead and play the Chargers defense. The Washington offensive line is just destroyed, and that Chargers front seven is absolutely smashing right now. They're going to get a defensive touchdown this week.
I mean, they really might. Trent Williams is questionable. Morgan Moses is questionable. I mean, Kirk Cousins' blind side is going to be protected by someone Kirk Cousins might not know. That's a good reason to play the Chargers defense. All right. Well, with that, that'll do it for the Pro Football Weekly DFS Fantasy Football Podcast. For Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solly. Best of luck in your matchups this weekend.